Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us here on the Big X Sports Radio. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective each day. We do this at 11 o'clock live. You can often catch the replay at 3 p.m. And, of course, podcasts will tell you about that a little bit later. If you miss a segment, miss a full show, you want to go back and listen to something again, we've got plenty of ways for you to do so. Let's jump right into the show today. The guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Once we get through the headlines and news of the day coming up here in just a few moments, we will have Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing of the Indianapolis Star. Greg, the sports columnist, very opinionated, lots to talk about. I thought he had a great piece earlier in the week about Brad Stevens, obviously former Butler coach, Indiana native who's doing great things with the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, had a big win over the weekend over the Cavs in the opening game of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll talk about that. Little sports gambling, maybe. Some big announcements yesterday. The Supreme Court overturning a ruling in New Jersey, which could pave the way for legal sports gambling in other states now, which would completely change that. Some just tremendous changes to sports gambling could be forthcoming in our country, especially where we are situated here in Southern Indiana, just across the river from Churchill Downs, who may have a leg up in some regard as far as getting into the sports betting arena. So we'll talk about that with Greg as well. Also later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joins us. We're tracking a lot of off-season stuff for IU basketball, and there's a ton of recruiting stuff. Mike and his team, some of his team were down in Atlanta for some of the shoe circuits over the weekend. College coaches couldn't be on the road, but plenty of IU prospects to watch, and we'll talk with Mike about that and more. The guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Actually, a lot of things to get to in the headline segment today, and actually talk about the schedule for just a moment for next year. A report yesterday that Indiana is going to play at home in Assembly Hall against Marquette as part of the 2018 Gavitt Tip-Off Games, which is a series that takes place each year between the Big Ten and the Big East conferences established back in the 2015 and 16 season. So Indiana and Marquette, oddly enough, the former school of Indiana coach, Indiana's last coach, Tom Crean. Other matchups in the Gavitt tip-off games to begin the season: Ohio State at Creighton, St. John's at Rutgers, Seton Hall at Nebraska, Penn State at DePaul, Michigan at Villanova. That's an interesting game. Wisconsin at Xavier, and Georgetown at Illinois. Games are named in honor of the late Dave Gavitt. He was the founder of the Big East Conference and a 2006 inductee into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. When you look at the Indiana schedule now, in addition to the Marquette game, other games we know for sure with dates on the schedule, December 8th, Indiana is going to host Louisville. December 15th, a game against Butler in the Crossroads Classic, which will be played at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So we can kind of slowly begin to piece together some of the big matchups non-conference-wise for the Indiana schedule for the 2018-19 season. And it's just crazy when you think about IU Marquette or IU Louisville or IU Butler or any of the Big Ten games. We know the matchups but not the dates for those at this point. It's crazy to think that Romeo Langford will be playing in those contests for Indiana, that we'll have a local player suiting up for the Hoosiers in just a few short months, really. So Indiana and Marquette, that's the latest addition to the schedule for IU men's basketball next season. A couple recruiting notes here as our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill continues. Demezi Anderson and Rob Fennessy, they are going to play in the 2018 Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic at Hoosier Gym. That's the old Hoosier Gym from the Hickory movie, from the Hoosiers movie, I should say, in Knightstown, Indiana. The game will be on Friday, June 1st, coming up here in a few weeks at 8 o'clock. According to the press release, according to the rosters, while Romeo was invited initially to that game, he is not going to play, according to what was released by Hoosier Basketball Magazine, who organizes that game. But Demezi and Rob Fennessy will. Small gym, neat atmosphere, neat game, way to honor one more time some of the top seniors in the state before the Indiana-Kentucky game series takes place about a week or so after that. So those two guys will play in the Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic up in Knightstown. Couple other things. Keon Brooks. We'll talk with Mike Pegram about this a little bit later, but Keon Brooks with an interesting quote over the weekend. He was playing down in Georgia at the Nike EYBL alongside Trace Jackson Davis for the Indy Heat team that is a member of that Nike EYBL circuit. And he told Pigs.com that he wants to take his official visit to Indiana. Of course, you only get five official visits. He wants to take his official visit to Indiana during Hoosier Hysteria before this upcoming season. He basically said he enjoyed it last year, even though it was an unofficial visit. And so that's, I would say, interesting news for Indiana, to say the least, that we're sitting here in the month of May and a player that's one of the key targets for next year's senior class from right here within the state already is saying he wants to take an official visit. That's really not a surprise, but the fact that he is calling out the date already, Hoosier Hysteria, I would think would give Indiana some confidence there. It will be interesting if maybe that comes together where him and Trace Jackson Davis are there for both officials during that Hoosier Hysteria festivity, but who knows? Still, I think good for Indiana that coming off the Lankford commitment, you've got some of the top 2019 players talking about what it would be like to play at Indiana, talking about when they want to make their official visit to Indiana and the campus. So, again, some of that positive momentum continuing after Romeo's commitment. One other name to pay attention to, this is a name, a story from a player from Western Pennsylvania by the name of Ethan Morton. Interesting because that is where Archie Miller and his family have all kinds of roots, where he was raised, where Archie played his basketball. But Morton is a rising junior. He's in the 2020 class, so he will be a junior when high school basketball starts next season. Received a offer from Archie Miller here over the last few weeks. He's kind of an interesting player. I've never seen him play, but just reading about him, a number of schools jumping in on him, a number of high major schools jumping in on him in recent weeks, like Purdue, Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State. Those are just schools from the Big Ten Conference that he listed that have joined his interest list, offering scholarships here over, again, the last few weeks. 6'5", four-star guard, projected to maybe be the next big-time player out of the Western Pennsylvania area. So, obviously, with the connection to the Miller family, to Archie Miller, his father, of course, brother Sean Morton, Ethan had a couple quotes that he understood the family and their lineage back to that area, and obviously had kind words to say about them as coaches. So Archie, perhaps his connections and where he's from, able to help bring in someone else. But Ethan Morton, another name from that 2020 class to add to the list of prospects for Indiana at this time. Also, big baseball game tonight in college baseball. Indiana will play at Louisville tonight. Indiana will take on Louisville, and I believe that game is actually at home tonight. Let me get this straight. The game is on the road tonight. It's Indiana's final road contest of the regular season. If you remember back to last year, a late season non-conference matchup, that was the game that was at Bart Kaufman Field last year, was big for Indiana as a resume booster as they headed into the postseason, getting a late season boost. Now, two teams this year, a little bit more even as far as competition goes. Cardinals in baseball currently 26th in the RPI ratings. Indiana is 27th in the latest ratings, and each team projected at one point this season to be the host of a regional, and now both teams, depending where you look, are second or third seed projections in their respective regions. Louisville comes into the game red hot. They have had some big wins lately. Indiana got back on track, you could say, over the weekend with a couple victories over Nebraska, but should be a fun game. And I saw earlier the game was originally scheduled for a first pitch at Jim Patterson Stadium tonight, 6:05, but it's been bumped up to 5:30. I think I saw maybe there could be some weather later this evening. I don't know if that was the reason the game was bumped up or not, but it is a 5:30 first pitch now for the IU-Louisville baseball game tonight. And again, that is across the river at Louisville. So if you're an IU fan here in southern Indiana, you can make the quicker trip over to Jim Patterson tonight for a big college baseball game, especially this late in the season. Also, a high school game of interest tonight, a big one to get teams set for maybe a final big matchup before the sectional round. New Albany is at Silver Creek tonight in high school baseball. That game is set for a 5:30 p.m. first pitch. New Albany is now number two in Class 4A after suffering a couple defeats here over the last few weeks. Silver Creek, one of those teams in the local 3A sectional that has been ranked in the top 10 all season, and them or Providence, one of those teams, I believe, has a great opportunity to make a run into the postseason, depending on who can get out of that local 3A sectional. That's a look at some headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And Hoopster Sports Grill is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. One reminder, too, don't forget the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Only a handful of those remain with the Father's Day holiday coming up. It's the perfect gift. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses for under $20 a round with the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards. Some of these courses are private. You're only going to get the chance to play them if you're a member or if you have the Big X Sports Radio golf card. So log on today. Not that many left. BigXSportsRadio.com, or you can call 812-725-1457. That's 812-745-725-1457. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk Brad Stevens. We'll talk sports gambling. I'm sure we'll get into some IU basketball stuff as well coming up next here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report, presented by Coffee Crossing. And Coffee Crossing would like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Greg, welcome into the program. Little basketball. We've got the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals underway, but other than that, a little slow right now with basketball. Still plenty of other topics, though, to touch on today with you.
Yeah, including Coffee Crossing having a brother organization up here south of Indianapolis. I'm not north of Indy. I'm south of Indy. A brother got to eat some food, doesn't he?
Absolutely, Greg Doyle. And you got to, for somebody that didn't tune in last week, you got to experience Coffee Crossing up close and personal when you came down for the Romeo announcement a couple Mondays ago.
Sugar-free dark chocolate coffee. Talks about checking off all the boxes. The only box missing from that is somehow if I can drink that with a dachshund sitting on my lap.
And also, I've had a couple people tweet or say something to me about when I suggested maybe this summer, if you get a slow time, you come down for a meet and greet at Coffee Crossing. I did speak with Alan Butts, the owner, and yep. We have permission, as I thought, to move forward with organizing that. So let's get a date and let's get you back to Southern Indiana, and we can say it's maybe your first trip to New Albany without Romeo Langford as the subject.
Yeah, but how far are you from Jasper?
Jasper, hour and a half. It's to the west of us, so hour and a half down 64 west.
West? That's a long way away from me, because I've been told I need to get to, because I love basketball gyms. I love Indiana old gyms, because only in Indiana, I've lived everywhere. I've never seen anything like it where the gymnasiums are as big a star in some places as the coach, the player, the team. Like the gym, there's just so much character. I've been told Jasper, if I care about gyms in this state, at some point I got to get to Jasper.
Absolutely. So, and I can't think, somebody can tweet me this or send me this, because I can't think of the name of the gym, but of course, their facilities now are really nice. I mean, really, really nice, and have been. But they had I don't think it was a tornado. I want to think it was like snow on the roof, ice, when we had an ice storm or something, and the gym roof caved in, which meant they had to play at the old gymnasium in downtown Jasper. And actually, I saw a New Albany Jasper game on I guess it was a regulation court, but the surroundings, you know, real tight, smaller, older gym. It was definitely pretty cool. And you're right. You come down and want to see a good old gym, Jeffersonville Nahan Fieldhouse. They're putting a lot of money in that thing to redo it. It's got a ton of history in there as well. So a couple comments on old gyms, but you're right. There's special places in Indiana.
You remember that there's a gym in Greenfield, and they had a great score in the late 60s, early 70s. We went on to play at Tennessee. I want to say Mike Edwards. Does that name ring a bell to you, Mike Edwards?
Not offhand.
It's something Edwards, and I wrote about it a year ago, but their gym is so – and they actually played in the gym. High school games were played in this gym. The gym was so small, it was like 75 feet long. It was so small that there was two half-court lines. You had to
–
there's a set, like you had to cross over both of them.
Sure.
If you're on offense, you had to cross over the far half-court line. Just crazy. Stuff like that just you would think is not possible. So anyway, Jasper, I'm going to get my eyeballs on. I got my eyeballs on the New Albany gym few weeks ago until that catwalk, which is I'm sure they exist, but I don't know of any catwalks I've seen that look quite that well. I don't know if I've seen a catwalk period in the state.
Absolutely. Yeah, some neat things about a lot of gyms here in Southern Indiana, the catwalk, and of course I've got a little favoritism there. In my opinion, the best media facility, because not only does it give a unique view, but it's also been, I don't want to say organized, but people like Lee Kelly and Jason Fleener and now Brian Sullivan treat the media guests really good when they come in, which I think is another big benefit to sitting on the catwalk. But that is a unique viewing spot, no question about it.
Well, so then, and I missed a chance to watch Romeo Duncan from there, but although, are any of the All-Star games going to be played there at New Albany?
Junior-senior exhibition game Wednesday leading up to the game in Louisville on that Friday. So,
okay.
One more opportunity. And here's a crazy thing about that. I called Jim Shannon last week, who I you know, do talk to on a fairly regular basis, and I said, hey, I've had like 7 or 8 people over the last 2 days tell me that there's a story somewhere that cites Jim Shannon's name saying Romeo isn't going to be at the exhibition game, and the school had just sold tickets to the public for that game, early presale, and wanted to know, is that true? Is he not going to be there? And did the school not know when they sold the tickets? And I don't know how it happened, but they were looking at, I think it was an Indy Star article from like a year ago when the junior-senior game was there and Romeo was over in Egypt at the it wouldn't have been Egypt. It was some Adidas thing at that time, I think. But nonetheless, world travels and Google haunting fans for this year's game. But will be there.
I saw that exact same story last week maybe because I was trying to look up the schedule for the All-Stars. And because Google is based on how many stories get read, that prompts you high up and your search terms. Romeo Langford's a big search term, so Google just, however they do it, they on the first page, it doesn't matter what year it was written. And so I'm looking up the All-Star game, the schedule, and the junior-senior, and the first headline is Romeo Langford not going to play. I saw that too and thought, wait a minute, what? And then realized, oh, that's 2017, because I got scared myself. Of course he's going to play in that damn game. But Google doesn't forget. I speak to high schools sometimes, and whatever I do, I always tell, and colleges too, I always tell them those words. Google doesn't forget. So whatever it is you're doing with your life on social media, Facebook, whatever, Google does not forget. Be careful.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. You wrote a good piece about Brad Stevens. And, again, I always admit to you I'm not an NBA guy. I don't pay that much attention to it. I talk mostly about the Pacers with you when you come on, especially when they were in the playoffs. But from an outside look in, and, of course, there's some favoritism, I'm sure, with his Indiana roots, it's hard to not see Brad Stevens as a legitimate candidate for Coach of the Year. He didn't even get any votes, if I remember correctly, or very few votes. And the guy that got Coach of the Year, Coach Casey Toronto, ends up getting fired. And I know crazy things happen in the NBA for a lot of reasons I don't understand and don't follow, but that just didn't add up to me.
Yeah, Brad Stevens literally got zero votes. And eight coaches got votes, including Nate McMillan, who I think did a great job. But eight coaches got votes. Brad wasn't one of them. And all he did this year was win 55 games and do it with a team that lost Gordon Hayward 5 minutes into the game of game one to a broken leg, and then lost Kyrie Irving two-thirds of the way through the season to his knee issues. So they're two best players, the only two superstars they had, both lost in season. So it's not like, well, you replaced them you traded for – no, they couldn't replace them. They just won with what they had, and what they had is nice. And they got some players, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're going to be really good, and they are really good right now. But the point is, you win 55 games after losing your two stars. You ought to get some Coach of the Year votes. But more than that, like that's just, we all know that he's good. Like my story, any story about Brad Stevens worth a darn, can't focus simply on the fact that he's good, because that's like focusing on Coffee Crossing has great sugar-free dark chocolate coffee. Duh. I mean, we know that. What else? Well, what's new to me? What is new about Brad Stevens and the NBA? Is that, and this just doesn't happen. The NBA is all about the stars. All pro sports are all about the stars, you know, the marketing and whatnot. And the NBA, more than any sport, one guy makes a difference. I mean, a huge difference. Larry Bird goes from Indiana State to the Boston Celtics, and the Celtics go from winning 29 games to, I think, 61. I mean, one guy does that. LeBron James is an Eastern Conference finalist by himself. Did it with Cleveland when they had nobody. Did it in Miami, yes, with great players. Has done it back again in Cleveland, is trying to do it again right now in Cleveland, which has kind of nobody. Kevin Love has become nobody. So one guy can do that. Well, in the NBA, you know, we all know Steph and Durant and all these teams have faces of the franchise. They're stars. Boston doesn't have that. Boston has Brad, and he's their star. I mean, he is their star. Like ESPN the other day had a graphic before the conference final started, head-to-head, LeBron versus – it was LeBron versus Brad. So it was like, who's the big star here? Well, LeBron's their star. Brad is their star. So LeBron versus Brad, who's got the advantage head-to-head? It's the craziest thing, especially because Brad is so, like, he doesn't care. He's humble and doesn't go looking for attention. Just it finds him because he's great. But it's just so cool to me that this very humble, meek, not meek, but humble guy from our state has become the big star in basically the biggest NBA town in America. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis star with us. Thoughts on Celtics and Cavs? Celtics get not just a win, but almost a blowout win. Really wasn't even that competitive from start to finish, which is big for game one. Can they keep that up, or will LeBron see it through?
Well, LeBron is a force to be reckoned with. I don't understand what happened. I don't think anybody understands what happened. How does LeBron go from – I mean, I watched the game and saw several highlights, and he didn't even seem to want to get into the lane. And maybe he was missing free throws in pregame warm-ups and didn't want to get fouled. And I'm being serious here. I've seen him play games where he didn't want to go to the foul line, and so he just didn't attack. He's a head case when it comes to shooting free throws. He is. I mean, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. But he's a head case. And I don't know what that was. So that won't happen again, or maybe it will. I'm not a big NBA guy, kind of like you say. I mean, I like watching the Pacers and whatnot, but by and large, I want college, because almost every game, whoever the player is, they're going to bring it every game. And NBA, even in the playoffs sometimes, they just don't bring it, and I don't really understand that.
Yeah, it's very confusing, which is, I think, a reason why a lot of people, even in basketball craze Indiana, outside of Indianapolis or outside of the Pacers' main territory, whatever you want to call it, don't follow it on a regular basis unless there's a major storyline or it's the finals or the Pacers are doing well or Victor Oladipo makes you pay a little bit more attention, obviously.
I was about to say, the best thing that could have possibly happened to the Pacers, the best thing was that they, never mind that they found a star to replace Paul George, but they found that star, Oladipo. The Pacers, more than anybody else in the NBA, in fact, I don't even know who else would even – I would even suggest this. Maybe the Charlotte Hornets, because they've been so bad for so long. Maybe if they had a great player at Carolina. But I don't even think – I lived in North Carolina for 6 years, and I'm telling you, I work for the Charlotte Observer. It's not the same. the Pacers needed this star, not any star, Oladipo, because the Pacers fans, it's kind of like Indy 500. There's a small core of them, but how big is your that really care? Oladipo will make that core grow bigger, and already is.
Greg, by the way, before we get into the next topic, Cabby O'Neill, C-A-B-B O'Neill Gym in Jasper. I'm pretty sure that's the gym that you want to check out. At least that's the cool old one that I remember. So.
Okay, Cabby O'Neill. They even have names.
Yep, Cabby O'Neill Gym. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a Wikipedia page devoted just to the damn gym. I mean, it's just that's what people do around.
You've got
around
like the
state.
Gym expert. He's not even from Indiana, from Nebraska of all places. You've got the gym expert right there at the Indianapolis Star, man. Kyle Nedrib's kind of taking that on as his pet project. He's got probably a whole database on that gym.
Well, I think he wrote a book, right, on
gyms.
And it's a
awesome
book I need to own. I know somebody, mainly the author. Somebody needs to hook me up with a free book.
Absolutely. I've got it. It's a good one for sure. And I think that I'm pretty sure that gym is in there. Hey, last topic before we let you go.
Yeah.
Supreme Court yesterday struck down a federal law prohibiting sports gambling. I know there's been a lot of talk in southern Indiana on the news stations and channels about, you know, Churchill Downs has already been intrigued about gambling and adding some other things. Could they be positioned to kind of take over if Kentucky were to allow sports gambling in that state? How could it affect Indianapolis, Indiana, from your perspective? And do you think it has a chance to even get allowed in the state?
Oh, yeah, it's coming. People kind of like legalized marijuana. I mean, whether you like it or not, I don't have an opinion about it for the most part. Maybe I should, but I don't. It's coming. Whether you like it or not, legalized marijuana is coming. Whether you like it or not, state-sanctioned gambling is coming to this state and pretty much every other state. It's all about money, you know. It's kind of like when realignment was shaking up college sports 20 years ago. A couple conferences maybe held out, but then realized, well, we can either do what everybody else is doing and hold our nose and live with this new reality, whether the new reality is legalized pot, gambling, or conference realignment. We can hold our nose and do it, or we can let everybody else do it and have more money than us, and now we're a second-class conference or state. So legalized gambling is coming. It's, you know, the state lottery about 30 years ago. State lottery was, you know, the thing that everybody talked about. It's going to ruin us, and it's a tax on the poor because they're the ones that play it, and it's just going to be the end of society as we know it. Well, 30 years later, the lottery is funding the pensions of all our heroes. You know, it's funding the pensions of the police and the fire department. It's funding the pensions of the teachers. And it's also contributing like hundreds of millions every year to Indiana roads and other reconstruction projects. So lotteries turned out okay for us, and I suspect state sanctioned gambling will also. I mean, if you're going to be seedy, if you're going to be a scumbag as it relates to gambling, and there are some, you're there right now. I don't know that this is going to make it. It'll make it easier for the scumbags, but they find a way, you know. And I think it sounds terrifying. In fact, somebody emailed me yesterday and gave me this long Sodom and Gomorrah spiel about how state-sanctioned gambling is going to be the end of us. And I'm not a fan of it. As a father, I'm terrified of gambling. I don't like it. But it's coming, and I do think the reality of it is not nearly as scary as the idea of it. And again, the idea of it, as a father who wants his kids not to be ruined by anything, it's scary. I'm scared of gambling, but the reality is it's coming. It'll be okay probably.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Hey, before I let you go, and some people probably think I'm crazy with some of the things we talk about or I bring up, but you made me laugh the other day, and it wasn't because of anything you said on the radio, and it wasn't because of anything that you wrote, at least publicly. But I sent you an email. It was actually when I was sending out the press release for Romeo Langford Basketball Court. And it was an automatic reply telling me that you're actually, I think, we're off until maybe yesterday. And what was it? If you're emailing me something nice, I promise I'll see it, but don't email me anything mean or sad. What was your automatic reply, your vacation reply?
The people in the state are so nice, and I write the kind of stories that folks might like sometimes. And so, and I typically I'll write one on Sunday, and then I'm on vacation the next day. Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to get a ton of emails from readers. Hey, I love the story on whatever. And I feel so rude not answering them. I mean, I feel so rude. And so my auto response, it's the longest auto response you ever saw. It basically says, hey, I'm on vacation for about 10 days. If you if you're writing me something nice about a story I've written, I promise you I'm going to see it, and I promise you I'm going to smile at it, but I promise myself I won't write at all on my vacation. That includes email. And then I said, if you're not writing me something nice, beat it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And I think I put a smiley face, like, to soften it. But I do get nasty emails, too, and to them, sincerely, beat it.
I love it. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always fun. Glad you're back from vacation. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
All righty. That is Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Again, you've heard Greg's review of Coffee Crossing. They would also like to recommend you try the new breakfast and expanded lunch menus at their sister company, which is 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Make sure you check that out as well. Great stuff there. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. All kinds of IU basketball stuff to get to. Keon Brooks already saying he wants to take an official visit at Hoosier Hysteria next year. Mike's team was down in Atlanta covering the Nike EYBL. A lot of prospects mentioning Indiana there. And a lot of stuff going on with the roster. Romeo set, Fitzner set, waiting for Juwan Morgan to, I think, fingers crossed, make an announcement that he will return as expected for his senior year. So a lot of stuff going on. Mike Pegues has us covered next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with Mike Pegram of Pegues.com for his weekly chat on IU basketball and more each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. And Mike, we added one more small piece to the schedule, at least as far as dates go. IU will host Marquette, part of the 2018 Gavitt tip-off games. Always a fun way, one of the early season games, to get the rivalry between the Big Ten and Big East going. And an interesting matchup in what's shaping up to be a pretty interesting non-conference schedule, at least what we know so far.
Yeah, hosting Marquette. I think we put out that they're going to host Jacksonville. This is a staff that has past ties to IU and IPFW. But they'll probably be on the road for the ACC Challenge, given that they hosted Duke this past year. And, they'll be playing Butler again in the Crossroads Classic. And so it should be a great December. You got to remember that they're going to the 20-game league. And so they'll be playing conference games again in early December. And it's just going to, be tight to how to figure this all in will be quite interesting. But it'll be a loaded schedule and, people want to see Romeo Langford play against the best in the country, and then I'll get some early examples of that or early showcases of his talent to see if he can do it against, top 25 kind of talented teams.
Mike, I always recall in the Tom Crean years, one of the criticisms by media and fans was that it seemed like the schedule came out very, very late. How do you compare last year, Archie Miller's first year? I know he was still taking over and had a lot of schedule work to do, I believe I recall, when he got there. But how do you compare last year to the Tom Crean years, and what do you expect this year as far as when a basically complete schedule could be available for 2018 and 19?
Well, the final date when it can be released might not change a lot because some of that is television dependent, Big Ten Network, usually league games and all that. But I think word will get out about a lot of games earlier than in the past because on the prior coaching staff, a lot of things did not get figured out until the last moment. It's one of the things I think Archie has noted that, he had to schedule a lot of games even last year, and he would like to have things set up well in advance with the schedule, at least have most of it. And so I think he's working to that. So I expect we'll get a lot more early word on games than we've had a couple of years ago. But the final schedule is still a little bit television dependent. But, you know, and the Big Ten schedule is complicated with this 20 games. It's going to be interesting to see how they work it because they've never done 20 league games before.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Mike is with us every Tuesday on the program talking IU basketball and more. I thought, and you guys have a full report. I know Jeff Rabjohns was down in Atlanta over the weekend watching the Nike EYBL circuit. Of course, the Indy Heat team with Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis is probably the most followed team by IU fans and those following Indiana recruiting as you guys do. I thought it was interesting in what Keon Brooks told Jeff that he's eyeing Hoosier Hysteria for an official visit. Pretty interesting that a player that's getting, I mean, Keon's scholarship offers have really blown up over the last month or so. A guy that's getting that much interest, and even though no surprise he would take one of his five visits when he gets that far along to Indiana, I don't think. It's just kind of interesting that he's thinking that far ahead and that specific that he knows already he wants to be at Hoosier Hysteria for his official visit. Obviously, last year when he was there for an unofficial, that had to stand out to him as a good time and a special time to be in front of Indiana fans and to watch the team for the upcoming season. I just found it interesting that sitting here in the middle of May, he was already ready to say that that's when he wanted to make his official visit to Indiana. You normally don't see or hear kids thinking that far ahead, you know?
Well, I think it's always a great sign for that school. We often do stories on players, and they'll say, well, I think I'm going to visit this and this school, and I'd like, you know, I plan to visit this school. The schools that they put on the calendar and set up are usually the ones that are leading, or, you know, the ones that they definitely want to do. They have no doubt. They get scheduled at the weekend. They want to go. And you know, I would say the majority of the time, those are the schools that are in the best shape with the prospects. So the fact that he's already got that October date down, and I'm pretty sure he probably knows already when it is, even though it might not be public information, is great news for Indiana's outlook there.
Absolutely. I get this question a lot. I'm sure you and Jeff and the Pigs team get it as well. Thoughts on Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis? It seems like they've bonded well together playing for this Indy Heat team in the EYBL circuit that Nike has. I know they fielded questions a couple times already about, you know, would they like to play together. I don't think that they necessarily would compete for the exact same style or type of player that each of them are. I don't think they would be a conflict to play with each other in college with the skills and things they bring to the game. Could you see those guys from your conversations with both of them, your interviews with both of them, could you see them playing in Indiana together?
Oh, without question. I think it's a definite, a real possibility, maybe even more so than that. They like each other. They complement each other on the court, because Keon has real guard skills, you know, in the 6'7", 6'8" range, puts the ball on the floor and shoots it really well. And they look for each other. You know, with that length, they can make passes back and forth to each other that you just don't see from usual guys that are, you know, 6'6" and under. And I think they would love to play well together, because the experiment basically has worked. We talked a lot about this, Matt, in prior shows. You know, we'll see how these guys play together. Well, they passed the test. They look great, and they're doing it without really a point guard on that team, because Isaiah Thompson, the Purdue commit, was going to be the point guard, but, you know, injured himself. We'll probably be back for the July Peach Jam, but you know, they've done pretty well as a team without a point guard, because those two guys get along great on the court, off the court, and I can see them wanting to play together in college. And Keon has been fantastic. He's play above his ranking, and will probably push for top 10 status in the class.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com joining us on the program. Any news on a number? This is another question I get a lot, on a number that Romeo Langford could wear for next season. He wore one at New Albany. Al Durham obviously was one last season at Indiana. When will that be public? Ooh. When will we know? And are you hearing anything on the number situation?
We're talking about 22, but I want to say Clifton Moore had that number, but
yeah.
I don't know if you know, it's a big deal. Why haven't taking one away from somebody might be a bigger deal than taking 22 away from somebody, but I don't know where you know, some players are just, you know, maybe there's a number that Clifton wanted, you know, all along, couldn't get last year that's now available. You know how that it is with players. And so maybe he may switch. All I've heard is 22 or 1, but I haven't heard. I know these things often don't get decided into August. It's more, you know, it's definitely a point of curiosity among a lot of people which one Romeo will grab. And I just know he has history with 1 and 22, right?
Yeah.
So you guys might know more than me.
I think the curiosity, at least down this way, wanting a early knowledge of what number he'll wear is because the fans will want to get the jersey. Because if you saw the number one New Albany jerseys and everything else, it's obviously a hot item down here. So that will be interesting. I wondered about Durham, who wore one last season, how important that was to him. And I don't even know how important it is to Romeo, the number. I really have no clue. But obviously history with one and history with 22, that's for sure.
Well, I went through this with Jared Jeffries 20 years ago. He wanted number one, and Bob Knight would not let him wear number one, so he was going to be number two. And then Bob got fired, and he got number one. I just opened the floodgates to number one for the next, few generations of IU basketball. We all got those questions. Will he get number one? Will he get number one? And it was like, no, he's going to get number two. But then things happen. But I think that we'll find out this summer, because I understand there's a marketing aspect to this. People are going to want to buy whatever jersey Romeo is going to wear, but it's still just mid-May, so he's still in high school, so that, you know, that I imagine it'll be this summer when that's eventually decided.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, joining us here on the program today. Mike, what's next recruiting-wise? Obviously, the two weekends that IU's coaches could be on the road in the spring have come and gone. We know about July here in a month and a half or so, the importance of that month, how much takes place as far as opportunities for the coaches to get out and watch players. But this time in the middle, what will the coaches spend their time doing from a recruiting aspect?
Well, they can have some guys come to campus now. They cannot go out and watch AU-type events. And then June will bring some team camps and, prospects with their high schools. That's really where they ironed out their relationship with Trace Jackson Davis, was when Center Grove came to camp in June, and then when Jerome Hunter's team came, that really helped Indiana get that commitment just a couple weeks later. I think that that's important recruiting situations ahead, those kind of things. I think DJ Carton is going to probably come to Indiana, in the next month or so, and he's really a high priority for their point guard pursuit. And, there'll be some of that going on. July is when they can get back on the road, and July is the biggest recruiting period of the time because there's three 4-day period, so it's 12 days versus the four that they got in April. So that's what's ahead.
Mike, big baseball game tonight to close our conversation today. Indiana and Louisville, down here in Louisville. So for fans in the area, it's a 5:30, I think, first pitch. It's been moved up a little earlier than the initial 6:05 first pitch. But that was a big game a year ago. Non-conference game late in the year for Indiana and Louisville before they head to their respective tournaments. It was a big boost last year for Indiana, beating a very good Louisville team. The teams this year are a lot more even. Still a big game, though, that because of Chris Lemonis' connections to Louisville, both teams I'm sure have circled on the calendar.
Right. It's really important for Indiana because they've gone through this slump that they may be getting out of, because they took the series 2-1 this past weekend after losing on Friday. They've won a couple games in a row after, just going through a rough patch and going back to near 500 in the league. We're talking about a team that was top eight in the nation not too long ago. But they got a couple of wins, and if they can get the win over Louisville, they'll help secure their position for the NCAA tournament, because right now they've kind of slipped to the 3-seed line last I checked, which is basically the bottom of the seeds as far as at large berth. And 4 seeds usually go to some smaller conference school that won won their league tournament. So they're kind of on the edge and on the bubble, and a win over Louisville will help get them back off the bubble and, set themselves up if they can able to, do some damage in the stretch run of the Big Ten.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike joins us Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and more. Mike, thanks for the chat. Talk to you next week.
Matt, we'll talk to you then. Thank you.
We'll head to our final commercial break, come back and wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, just a couple notes to wrap things up here on a Tuesday program. I see that Indiana and Coach Archie Miller, he's added a parent and son camp on Father's Day weekend, June 15th and 16th, with registration to begin at noon on the 15th and concluding at noon on the 16th. So if there's a father-son duo out there that wants to be around Coach Miller, I think it says the coaching staff and all of the players will be at this camp. You can find out more, and I believe the address is Archie Miller or Hoosier Sports Camps maybe, but it won't be hard to find online. But a camp added on Father's Day weekend. Also, a couple other notes, some good baseball tonight, interesting baseball to follow in the area. IU is at Louisville. That is now a 5:30 first pitch. Doug, do we have that game on 1450, or is it on 680 tonight? Do you know?
We don't have a U of L baseball game tonight.
Okay, I think the IU Louisville game must be on our partners at ESPN 680, 105.7. But we do carry a lot of the Louisville games in partnership with them, so you'll be able to catch that locally on the radio, I'm sure. Also tonight, high school baseball, New Albany is at Silver Creek tonight. That's a 5:30 first pitch in that contest as well. That's a good game. If you follow those two teams throughout the season, you know they both have some hopes here for the upcoming sectional and state tournament, but both of them will be in tough sectionals as well. So tonight is a good preparation game for both of those teams as they turn and head toward the postseason coming up 1 week from tomorrow. We will begin with postseason baseball here on the Big X with the sectional round of the tournament. We'll be at the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville to start things off. That's a wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. We're here every day at 11 a.m., and you can catch the replay most days at 3 o'clock as well. Don't forget the podcast available at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search for us on Apple Podcasts. Just type in the Hoosier Report. You can find every show there. If you miss a segment or a full show, they are all there for you to go back and listen to each and every day here on the program. We'll have tomorrow with us on Wednesday, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, some other guests as well, so stay with us for that. Until tomorrow at 11 o'clock, Matt Dennison saying, have a good day, everybody.